Praise the Lord. Will you stand with me? And He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, for He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this little song before we open our Bibles. Amen. It's called Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone. My God, my Savior, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, my chains. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long has life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. My God, my Savior has ransomed, and like a flood, your mercy rain, unending love, amazing grace. Come on, one more time. My chains are gone. My God, my Savior, He ransomed me, and like a flood, your mercy rain, unending love, amazing grace, unending love. Amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace, amazing grace. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be free this morning? Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to do something a little different. Deuteronomy 28. Praise the Lord. There's so many precious promises in the book we need to take hold of. As the prophet said, we are living far beneath our God-given privileges. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 28. Says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. How many wants blessings to overtake you? Praise the Lord. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, we bow humbly our hearts before you, Lord God, knowing that you are our God and our King. Your word is what we live by, Lord. And Father, we have come to the house of the Lord to feed on the word of God this morning. So Father, open up the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings. Or pour out your spirit upon us, a fresh anointing, Lord, this morning. Lord, help us all, Lord, to join in heart, Lord, in one mind and one accord around your word, Lord God, to worship you, Lord God, to give praise to your name, Lord God. We ask, oh, Father God, that you will anoint this congregation in a mighty way. Continue to bless and anoint the musicians. Bless our brothers and sisters, Lord, that are listening, Lord, by way of the internet, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray, Almighty God, that you'll shower your blessings upon our pastor, Lord God, as he brings your divine truth to your people, Lord God, this morning. We're ready to hear, Lord. We're ready to believe and receive everything that you would have for us, Lord God. Father, we have to come to a place, Lord God, where you can use us mightily. We are in the last days, Lord God. Help us to stand upon your word always. We commit this service into your hands in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Come on, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is. Yes, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus, Jesus, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide, he will wash away my sin. Hallelujah. Child, come in. Say yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me. Hallelujah. I like this verse. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me still. Though I'm very weak and ill, from His shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. Say yes, Jesus loves me. Oh yes, Jesus loves. Oh yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible, come on. Oh yes, say yes, Jesus loves me. Oh yes, Jesus loves me. Oh yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so. Well, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now, come on, let's sing it again. Well, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now, praise the Lord. First verse. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away? It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin. Well, at the cross, and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. It was there by faith Amen. Last verse. But drops of grief. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all. Say, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's when we obtained our victory at the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Satan stuck that stinger in Jesus Christ at the cross, it was over. It was finished. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We'd like to welcome and thank our guests for showing up, Sister Marjorie Woolston. God bless you. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord. We have a few prayer requests this morning. You all may have your seats. Amen. We have a prayer request from Sister Tina. It says, pray for one of our clients from the pantry. She has been sick recently and her husband is battling cancer. Pray for their complete healing, and if they don't know the Lord, that they will accept him as their personal Savior. Amen. So we want to take that before the Lord. Also, there's a prayer request for Sister Irma Scott. She sent a message to Brother Jack this morning, and it says, hey, Pastor, good morning. Can you say a prayer for my son? He is in the hospital with kidney problems. I'll be watching. Thank you. Amen. So we want to take these requests before the Lord. They're very needy, or there would have never been a request. Amen. Sister Ken, we have the announcements. We'll do that before we take these requests before the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have two birthdays coming up on Saturday. Sister Cobb and Sister Sheryl. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen, amen. Just keep getting younger. Amen. Saw that picture of Sister Cobb. I thought for sure that was Sister Erica in that uniform. Praise the Lord. We have no service this Wednesday. Thanksgiving will be Thursday, so there'll be no service this Wednesday. Pretty sure many people will be traveling. Sunday morning prayer service will be from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Then Sunday morning service will be following at 10:30. We will continue to stream online. You can find us on Twitter at Spirit and Truth T and on Facebook at SAT Tabernacle. We have Brothers Virtual Prayer Tuesday at 7:30 and also House of Fellowship in Sarasota at Brother Danny Steeman's December 3rd through the 5th. As far as our giving, you can give online. You can go to spiritandtruthtabernacle.org. There's two ways of giving there, or you can also go through the My Church app, two ways of giving, PayPal, and also Cash App when using PayPal. When donating, please choose the option to transfer or send to a friend. This will minimize or eliminate any PayPal fees. Our email address that you can use is given at john423.org. Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT. And if you desire to mail in your tithing and or offering, it's Spirit and Truth Tabernacle right here at the bottom, P.O. Box 222-462, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33422. Amen. Let's bow our heart, pray over these requests, and also pray over our giving. Precious Lord, Father God, these requests have come upon the ears and hearts of your believing children, Lord. You said whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believing we receive it, we shall have it, Lord God. And Father God, we bring, Lord, these requests before you, Lord, as intercessors, Lord, sons and daughters of the King, kings and priests before you. Father, this lady, Lord, that comes to the pantry, Lord God, Father, we're praying for her husband, Lord God, fighting cancer, and she has been sick herself, Lord God. They need a touch from you, Lord God. For Father, not only heal her body, their bodies, Lord, but heal their souls, Lord. If they don't know you in the saving power, Lord God, may you fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Reveal to them who you are, Lord Jesus, that they may walk in who they are, Lord, called by your name. Father, we pray for Sister Irma Scott's son, Lord God, fighting with kidney problems, Lord God. You know all about it. May the Holy Ghost go to where he is, Lord Jesus. Father, you are the only healer, Lord. There's none other that can heal besides thee, oh God. So, Father, we put our trust in you, Lord, and we believe we receive what we ask for. We're not asking in vain, Lord God. We know that you are a living God and you're a God that moves, Lord God. Father, you move and heal in your own special way, Father. So we commit this into your hands. And, Father, as far as our giving, Lord God, we bring before you, Lord, that which you have given unto us, Lord, and we return it to you with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing, Lord, that you have granted us. Thank you that we have the ability to give and a heart to give, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will bless your people a thousandfold for everything that they do concerning the kingdom. Father, we commit all things into your blessed and lovely hands. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Burris, will you come this morning? Praise God.
God bless you, saints. I'm going to pull out a song I haven't done in quite a while. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, the song was inspired by the journey of the wise men to see the Christ child. And doubtless, you know, they went through many perils along the way, but they were fixed on that Christ child. And as I thought on that, I thought about my Christian journey. No doubt, they said it makes no difference. Makes no difference. I just got to get there. And that's my testimony today. Just got to get there. Praise the Lord. I invite you to join in with me. It makes no difference to me how you lead me. I gotta get there. I said it makes no difference to me how you lead me. I just gotta get there. Oh, you can lead me from the sunshine into the driving rain. Lord, with you leading me, I won't complain. It makes no difference to me how you lead me. I gotta get there. I said it makes no difference to me how you lead me, Lord. I gotta get there. It really makes no difference to me how you lead me. I gotta get there. You can lead me from the sunshine into the driving rain. Oh, Lord, lead me. I won't complain. How you lead me, I gotta get there. Oh, I just gotta get there. Oh, Lord, I just gotta get there.
said, I just gotta make it to that land so bright and so fair. Now every day I keep watching yonder star, shows me all my homeland ain't very far. Oh, it makes no difference to me how you lead me. I gotta get there. Oh, it makes no difference to me if I should suffer, y'all, but I gotta get there. Though it seems that all my trials, they're getting tougher, still I gotta get there. Oh, if I'm called to suffer for the cause of Christ, surely I've been granted eternal life. No, it makes no difference to me how he leads me. I gotta get there. Oh, say, I just gotta get there. Oh, my Lordy, I just gotta get there. Oh, I just gotta make it to that land so bright and so fair. Say, every day I keep watching yonder star, shows me all my homeland. It ain't very far. No, it makes no difference to me how he leads me. I gotta get there. Sometime I'm on the mountains, then the valley low, but I gotta get there. There's been places that I traveled few men would choose to go. Say, I just gotta get there. Lord, just let me walk on those streets of gold. Then I'm gonna sit down, y'all. I rest my soul. Oh, it makes no difference to me how he leads me. I gotta get there. Oh, say, I just gotta get there. Oh, my Lordy, I just gotta get there. Oh, and I just gotta make it to that land so bright and so fair, y'all. Say, every day I keep watching yonder star, shows me all my homeland. It ain't very far. No, it makes no difference to me how he leads me. Said it makes no difference to me how he leads me. No, it makes no difference to me how he leads me. Lead me from the sunshine, lead me to the rain, high upon the mountain, in the valley once again. Lord, just lead me, lead me, lead me. Hey, Lord, Jesus, just lead me. Oh, Jesus, hey, Lordy, lead me. Say, I'm upon the mountain, in the valley low, places that I travel, few men would choose to go. But oh Lord, just lead me. Hey Jesus, please lead me. Oh Lordy, difference. Makes no difference. He's at the wheel. He is at the wheel, y'all. Hallelujah. Makes no difference to me how you lead me. I gotta get there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. It shouldn't make no difference how he leads you. Amen. Walking in the will of the Lord is the safest place to be. Amen. You want to please the Lord? You got to walk by faith. Amen. It's a straight and narrow path. There ain't too many people can walk that path. God bless you, Sister Burrs. We certainly appreciate that special. Praise the Lord.
Testing. Okay. God bless you. I had asked Sister Tanya to sing this song. She texted me this morning and asked me to sing it. So I initially said I can't do it, but then found out she wasn't going to make it. So I'm going to attempt it. I have not practiced. So I'm so nervous, y'all. Just pray for me. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. They said I'd never amount to anything. But I'm glad to say that I'm on my way, and I'm growing more and more each day. Tears from my eyes. never let go.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you sung that song, Sister Rachel. What a blessing. What a blessing. I did not know she was going to sing until she got to playing for Sister Burrs, but I had already convinced my wife to sing with me. You know that's a hard thing to do. So I'm going to ask her to come and join me. So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand, and many times in trials weakness blurs my vision, and then my frustration gets so out of hand. Oh, I am reminded of being forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. But when I look back on the victories and the spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weaknesses are made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hills would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decisions and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I will surely perish. Oh, but if I trust the mighty hand of God, he'll shield the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hills would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decisions and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. So just hold on. Yes, our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. So just hold on, our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. No matter how the Lord leads you, hold on to his hand. He'll take you through the fire again. Praise the Lord. Will you stand to your feet? Amen. We're going to invite our pastor. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. Lord, you are good. You have been so good. As Brother Jack comes this morning. Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. I can't praise you enough. Even if I try, 'cause you've been so good. You've been so good. Say you've been
so good to me.
Come on.
Say, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. Can't praise you enough, even as you've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good to me.
Sing it again. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. I can't praise you enough. Even if I try, 'cause you've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good to me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah.
My God. Amen. Sometimes it's just good to take a trip down memory lane. Think of how good God has been to you. And if he didn't fail you then, he won't fail you now. Oh, God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Amen. Amen. I wanted to just make mention. I certainly appreciated the specials. Amen. This morning. Wonderful. Wonderful. Surprises. Thank God for Sister Burrs and Sister Rachel and Brother Solomon and Sister Naomi. My, it's wonderful. Just thank God for that. I want y'all to just remember Sister Erica in prayer. Amen. She's just not feeling her best, so she's not with us today. And she was going to press her way out anyway, but I said, no, just stay home and get you some rest and just trust that the Lord will just touch you. Amen. I was just reflecting on last year, she kind of got sick around the same time. And last year, I got sick. I got COVID last year, right around the same time. But God been good, and I made it through. So we just appreciate the Lord, but continue to keep her in your prayers. Musicians, thank y'all so much. I appreciate you all. Amen. Thank you for your service on today. Amen. Appreciate Brother Solomon and the song leading and everything. Just appreciate the Lord. Thank you, Brother Kwaku, for last Sunday. Amen. God bless you, my brother. I was watching online. I said, man, y'all was having church up in this place. I said, my God. I saw the house was full. I said, everybody want to come to church when I ain't there. But we just thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for all things. He's just a good God. And I was just really enjoying the sermon. Amen. And I saw Sister Shalom get on the piano. Is that her first special that she ever sung? That's the first special. And so her first special, singing and playing. Double. All right. It was a real blessing. So God bless you, Sister Shalom. Amen. 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 So we just appreciate the Lord, and Y'all get your Bibles and turn with me. And as you're turning, I did want to just make a couple other quick announcements. Yesterday, we there's something that we've been kind of trying to get accomplished for a little bit, and yesterday it was done, and I was just so happy. We had some things in storage in Okeechobee, and we were paying for like two different storages. So we wanted to get everything kind of there and put it in the one storage here, since we're paying storage here, and we were just trying to get it all coordinated, and Brother Calvin just stepped up. You say, Brother Jack, I got it. I'm going to get one of my workers, and I'm going to get it, and don't worry about it. I say, well, praise the Lord. He took the truck out there and met Brother Capers, and they just got everything and brought it over here. And I say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you. So, Brother Calvin, God bless you. Amen. We really, really appreciate that. Amen. On yesterday. And other thing I just want to make mention real quickly, I wanted to officially, amen, welcome Brother Tinashe and Sister Brenda. Amen to Spirit of Truth Tabernacle. Amen. The Lord has made a way for them to relocate here, and we had a chance to talk, and I called his father, his pastor, amen, and I had a chat with him and just told him that we were so happy to have two of his kids with us. Amen. We thank the Lord. So welcome, Brother Tinashe and Sister Brenda. Welcome to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Let's look at a scripture, very familiar passage on today. Luke chapter 4. And I already know that I won't finish this sermon today. And so y'all just bear with me. I'm just trying to find my way. Amen. And amidst this, just something that the Lord kind of put in my spirit. I got the date on here. August 12th, 2019 is when it was birthed, but I wasn't released to preaching until now. So God does things like that, and I just pray that he would just help us as we navigate through our subject on today. Here in Luke 4, verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book," now, you know, there's so much happening here in the scripture. First of all, in verse 16, we see it was customary for Jesus to go to church. I said it was customary for Jesus to go to church. And if it's customary for Jesus to go to church, then it should also be customary for his people to go to church. I see my cousin. God bless you, cuz. Amen. Here, it goes on in the next verse. It says there was delivered unto him, verse 17, the book of the prophet. It doesn't say that Jesus asked for this book. It says it was delivered unto him. And when it was delivered unto him, he found the place where it was written. Let's keep reading. Amen. It was delivered unto him, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now, the only person who can do all this is Jesus. Amen. "To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, he found where it was written. He read it. And the Bible declares, he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue. Now, they weren't looking at the minister. Think about it now. They weren't looking at them as everybody. Now, why would he read something like that? Read it, sat down, and said, the Bible says, and eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Oh, my, 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 my. Well, let's just stop right there and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to come into the house of the Lord. God, how we have been blessed by everything that has happened thus far, the song service, the specials. We have we thoroughly enjoyed just being in your presence. But now we come to the Word of God, and we trust that the Holy Spirit would take control over the thought that is being presented today. Use it for your glory and for your honor, Father. I want to ask a special blessing upon my wife. Lord, the enemy attacking her and her body, but we rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you would touch her and make her completely whole. Even as she's listening in on the line, Father, may she feel the Spirit of God. Amen. Just come into the room and touch her right where she is. You're the same God that touched Peter's mother-in-law, and within an hour, things were different. We believe that God still lives today, so we're trusting, God, that you would move by your Spirit, amen, upon her and upon anybody else that has a need here this morning. God, we give it to you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I'm taking a thought from this scripture that we just read out of Luke 4. Our title today is Heirs in Spirit. Amen. Heirs in Spirit. I want you to just bear with me as we try to navigate this thought. I want you to just catch that word. I had Sister Tina just put that up there, amen, for us so that you, not errored, but heirs in Spirit. And heirs actually means to be mistaken or to be incorrect or to make a mistake, amen, to make a mistake. And as I was just looking at some of these definitions, when we use this word, there are little statements that have been made. They say heir on the right side. Heir on the right side, which means act so that the least harmful of possible mistakes or errors is most likely to occur. So when you err on the right side, you're acting in a way so that the least harmful of possible mistakes, because I can tell you this right now, none of us are perfect. All of us gonna make a mistake somewhere along the line, but err on the right side. Right, because this says act so that the least harmful of possible mistakes or errors is the most likely to occur. Amen. Another amen statement that they kind of use is err on the side of caution. Okay, and what this means is display more rather than less of a specified quality in one's action. So if you're going to err on the side of caution, that just be a little bit more careful, right? Amen. Just because there could be a mistake made, but just be a little bit more careful. So err on the side of caution. All right. And here's another statement that is used when we're talking about this word err. It's to err is human. Glory to God. To forgive is divine. Amen. Amen. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. And this means it is human nature to make mistakes. Hallelujah.
amen, it's human nature to make mistakes oneself while finding it hard to forgive others of theirs. So to err is human, but to forgive is divine. See, we're talking, amen, this morning on erred in spirit. In spirit. Now, you know, my heart moves in the direction of many people in this day that I feel have erred in spirit because they have walked away from the Word of God. And let me put it this way, they've walked away from the revealed Word of God. And oftentimes when people make this mistake, you begin to see certain things creep into their lives. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. Holiness goes right on out the window. Amen. But there's a stand that they used to have, but because they erred, because they made a mistake, amen, spiritually, right? Because they made a mistake spiritually, amen, you start seeing certain things creep into their lives. Now, what I want to tell you is that when this happens, you got a certain response that you should have, and it should be to pray for a person. Glory to God. Amen. Look, you can't point your finger at nobody. Because when you got one finger pointing out like this, you got four more pointing back at you. Hallelujah. So when you see somebody's erring in spirit, you got to pray for them. So take heed lest you fall. I want you to just stay with me here today. I want to, you know, just, I'm going to read a little bit. I want to start in this message, Shalom, is where I want to start just reading from. And just this morning, I was teaching actually, the two of those songs, amen, this morning, Sister Burris, when she come out, talk about the wise men. I was teaching this morning, talking about the wise men. I said, man, what a confirmation. Then when Sister Rachel starts singing, I'm still holding on. I say, well, I thought about this message because there were many that started out with me. But now they've gone astray. If I can just put it this way, they've erred. Erred in the spirit. It's just a mistake. It's just a mistake. You can recover from a mistake. You can recover from a mistake. You're not defeated because you made a mistake. Lord, I'm going to get to this quote, but I'm reminded of this man that went for a job interview. And he walked into the job interview, and he took a pen, I believe it was, with him to the interview. And the boss began to say, no, he took a pencil, but the pencil had no eraser. And when he went in there with the pencil, the boss asked him, say, now, hey, I noticed your pencil don't have an eraser. He said, that's because I don't make no mistakes. He said, you ain't going to get this job. You're not going to get this job. You can go ahead and leave because we don't need nobody like you around here. Amen. If you make a mistake, just use the eraser. Glory to God. That's why the pencil has an eraser. All you got to do is erase it and rewrite the answer. Hallelujah, somebody. You can make a mistake, but you can recover. Glory to God. You can recover. And Jesus himself said he brings recovering of sight to the blind. This is not a message to condemn. This is a message just to say, look, we all do it. We all make mistakes. But we can recover. Look at this sermon, Shalom. The prophet says this now. About 3 years ago, it will be now, that at home, at my home church, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go to Tucson. There is something waiting. I stood on this platform and told every one of you, thus saith the Lord, something is fixing to happen. It says, there is probably hundreds of people sitting here that know it. I just told you what I saw. The message is on tape. What time is it, sir? I saw a constellation of angels like a pyramid come down just north of Tucson, up in this way, north of Tucson, and they spoke to me something, and I didn't know what it was. Amen. And one day there's a man sitting right present now, two of them that was with me back over there when that happened. And they took the picture of it in the sky. It come out in the magazine.
I thought I had a copy. I do. That's it. You see it. You see it here in Life Magazine. This copy, just exactly the way the Holy Spirit said it would be. Now here, you know, the prophet had already told the people years before it actually happened. And then now when it happens, there are seven angels that form this cloud. And, you know, and we hear a lot of people saying that maybe it was a jet that did that. And, you know, if you want to give credit to the jet, fine. That's more of a miracle than I know, right? Because a jet can't even fly that high. But if a jet got up there and created a cloud that big, then my God, how much more supernatural that is, right? You know, and then on top of that, when we look at the cloud, the way that they took the picture in Life Magazine, they had no idea what this was. And the prophet never went to Life Magazine and told them what to do with it. He only told the bride to turn the picture to the right. And when we turned it to the right, we didn't see Brother Branham. We saw Jesus. And when we look at this message, we should still be seeing Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at it now. He says, and there stood seven angels just as natural as you see me standing here, and told me to return to my home, that the mysteries that the reformers down through the ages had failed to pick up, the mysteries of the Bible, which the seven seals held, would be revealed. And that's a statement that I want to bring to you. I challenge anybody, get those seven seals and look them over. Glory to God. And not only that, not what he's saying is, and I should have brought one with me, but I ain't got it here, a seven seal book. He said, get the seven seal book and look it over and find fault with them. Oh, glory to God. Right? Because this is not the place that people have gone to find fault. They've gone to a bridge. They've gone to a bear. They've gone to all kinds of other places. But go to the seven seals. Pick it up and read it and find fault there. Now, I'm going to tell you how perfect this word was that we got, because when you read Revelation 10, y'all just bear with me, because this is my teaching from this morning. I'm just giving you a synopsis. Amen. But when you read Revelation 10, amen, give me verse 1 and 2 real quick. Just give me real quick. Revelation 10, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to just read something here for you, just to kind of show you something. Just write in the scripture. Write in the scripture. Revelation 10, verse 1 and 2. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at this. Look at this. Just want to show you something. Here the Bible says this, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face, amen, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, right here, this particular scripture, Brother Branham tells us this is talking about Christ. Amen. This angel, this mighty angel is Christ himself. All right. Now notice verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open. Now, Christ is the one with the book in his hand. Oh, glory to God. It is Christ, the one with the book in his hand. But here we need to understand, how did the book get revealed to us? Christ decided, according to his own word, that he would reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And the prophets then reveal it to us. Amen. So Christ is the one with the book in his hand, giving the secrets of the book to his prophet. And now we have that in the seven seals. That's why he said, go to the seals. My God, look them over and see if you can find fault with them. Don't come with the bridge. Don't come with the bear. Come with the seven seal book that Christ himself gave to his prophet. Look them over and find fault there. Let me go on with the rest of this quote. All right, all right, all right, all right. Air it in spirit. All right, he says this, I challenge anybody, get those seven seals and look them over and find fault with them. See, because it's given by inspiration of God. It says, prior to that, I preached on the seven church ages and then draw them out on the blackboard in my tabernacle. Now, just bear with me. Amen. I the one thing that I do know is that I know where I'm standing. That's one thing I do know. And we're going to get to something here in a little bit. We're gonna talk about the anointing in a little bit. I want to just talk about the anointing so you know what the anointing is. Hallelujah. Do you know right now, amen, this is probably one of the most anointed messages that you have ever heard? What you listening to right now, ain't nobody up on their feet, ain't nobody jumping and running around the building, but one of the most anointed messages you ever heard. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. See, when I'm talking about somewhere between here and there, y'all say that's anointed. It was, but this right here is one of the most anointed messages that you will ever hear right now. All right, let me just keep reading. Y'all stay with me. Amen, amen. So I wanted to just share. He said, prior to that, he preached on the seven church ages and draw them out on the blackboard. When Brother Branham preached the seven church ages, God supernaturally vindicated what his prophet spoke. And what he did after the church ages was over, God came into the room and on the board, on the wall, drew the very same church age picture that Brother Branham drew on his paper. God drew it on the wall. Now, when that happened, there were some people that say there was a car that came by and the lights, amen, in the car flashed on the wall and it created this image. Now, that's again, more supernatural than I can even imagine. You telling me, where is that car? I want to see that car that can turn on their lights and flash the seven church ages on the wall. It's the Holy Ghost coming to vindicate the word that had been preached. Now, when Brother Branham preached the seals, amen, we also had the supernatural on display. Now, I'm saying all these things to get us to a certain point here because, you know, when we see God vindicating his word, amen, then we see people err in their spirits after God has vindicated his word. You got to guard your spirit. You got to guard your spirit. You can't let people just put anything inside your spirit. You can't read everything. You can't be going to every website. You can't visit every church. You got to guard your spirit. Because if you don't guard it before you know, you done made a mistake in the spirit. You've erred in spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, you know you got your body, your spirit, your soul, right? And see that the spirit, amen, that's a realm of things that you really, you know, you can't see. It's like affections and emotions and all this other kind of see. When you start getting to that realm, you know, memory, affections, emotions, the devil start playing tricks on you there. And if you don't guard that area right, before you know it, you're air in your spirit. And it'll lead you down a path you never thought you would go. But remember, if you make a mistake, there's a way back. What I want to say here is that when the seven seals was preached, God did supernatural things. Amen. Seven angels appeared in Arizona and told the prophet, go back east and preach the seals. You know, and this morning as I was reading, amen, just the story of the wise men, if you notice in the scripture that the wise men came from the east when they went to Jerusalem. They came from the east and they went to Jerusalem. And now the star led them to the proximity as to where the Christ child had been born. But it's when they got into Herod's presence and Herod went and got the scripture. Woo! When he got the scripture and began to read where Christ was fully born, then that brought them into proximity. I mean the very presence. I'm sorry. The star brought them in proximity, but the revelation of the word brought them into the presence of God. They were coming from the east to the west. Brother Branham was coming from the east going out west before the seven angels visited him. And then the seven angels out in the west in Tucson said, go back east and preach the seven seals. It was the manifestation of Revelation 10, the angel, the mighty angel with the book in his hand, giving it to his prophet to give it to us. All right, stay with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there are some churches that as far as they can go is between here and there. That's the only sermon you hear when you go to some of those churches. And it'll get you excited. But when you get this word, this revelation word, it will anchor you. It'll anchor you when you start going through some things. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Because it's very easy to err in your spirit. Y'all bear with me. So supernatural things happen when the seven angels, amen, commissioned the prophet to go back east and preach the seals. Brother Branham was concerned about what all these supernatural things was. He started praying, amen, there in Tucson, in the mountains of Tucson, Arizona. And while he's praying with his hands lifted in the air, a king's sword appears in his hand. And that king's sword happened to be the word of God. Not a king, but the king's sword. It was the word of God. It fit his hand perfectly. Fit his ministry perfectly. Amen. The other thing is that every day before he preached the seals, an angel would meet him daily, giving him the revelation of the seal in the little room. Glory to God. Amen. And the other thing, when the seven angels came down to commission the prophet, another thing that happened is that in the rock of the mountain, the profile of the prophet was placed inside the rock. God did that. Now I'm saying all these supernatural things that happen to show us that God was behind this message that we're following here. But people reject the supernatural and they're erring in their spirit. Stay with me. And y'all gonna find by the time we get to the end of this, I'm gonna read it to you right out of the Bible where I got my title from. So just stay with me. Don't worry about it. I don't give it to you in advance. I just let you follow me. And then I just read it to you right there at the Bible. Glory to God. Here we go. Turn on the light. Give me this message out of turn on the light. Stay with me. You know, I forgot to put my timer on. What time I got here? About 11:30, right? I'm sorry. I try not to preach too long. I give y'all about a little over an hour. A little over an hour. So since I got here 11:30, it's 11. Okay, I'm going to give you 45 minutes, and I'm going to shut off. Is that all right? All right? Take your time. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Well, nobody else going to say it, Brother Joseph. Nobody else going to. They about shut me down already, Brother Joseph. I just got started, but thank you, brother. Glory to God. Amen. All right, stay with me. Stay with me here. Oh, glory. Now, this message turned on light. Look at this. Nothing can live, natural or spiritual, without his light. And his word is light and life. Right? But when he sends his light and makes it known to the people, and then it is rejected, then what about that? Right? That's what we want to talk about this morning, is rejecting this light by them it sent to, reject it just like it was then. Behold my servant whom I have delighted in. He is the light. He's the light to the Gentiles. He's the light to the world. He was the light of the world, but he was rejected. That's the sad part. What we got to get here is not just Bible history, because history has a strange way of repeating itself. Right? Amen. It says, and it meets that condition every time that God manifests his light. The word itself rejects that light. Why? It's written right in the Bible. Each age, God has allotted so much of his word for each age, and he always sends somebody to manifest that word. Let's go on a little further. Jesus had been prophesied for 4,000 years that he would come, Messiah. And when he come, he manifested every promise of Messiah. But yet the people of the world, the churches and so forth, know nothing about him. So because they had then got in some other thing that kept them away from knowing this. Now he says, we'll take the natural part. What if a man that is born here to walk in the light of that sun? amen, what God has created for him. And the first thing you know, he shuts his eyes. Now, this is what the man is doing. Ain't nobody shut his eyes for him. He did it to himself. Glory to God. He shuts his eyes. Runs into the basement. Now the man is doing this. Something is going wrong with this man. That he's trying to deny the very existence of the S-U-N. And in order to deny it, he can't come outside. You can't come outside and come in contact with the sun and start denying it. It's too much evidence. It's too much evidence to prove to you that there's an S-U-N. All you got to do is watch the way the plants operate. You can tell that there's an S-U-N. Your skin will start telling you there's an S-U-N. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Look at this now. See what happens now. The man has to shut his eyes. Look, the prophet says this. He shuts his eyes, runs into the basement, closes the door. And that ain't enough because the sun even get through all that. You're in the basement, but there's a window in the basement. The sun will find its way in the basement. So he got to keep doing all kind of crazy things to try to tell people it's no S-U-N. My God, look at him. Says he runs into the basement, closes the door, pulls down the shade. And even in that, you can still feel a different presence when the S-U-N come in. The temperature in your basement changes when the S-U-N rises. Hey, I want to tell you, the temperature in your life should change when the S-O-N rises. And just refuses to recognize the sun is a shining. He denies its privileges. Now, I think there are certain benefits that you get from sunlight. He's denying his privileges. Glory to God. And ain't no light. I don't care. Like at night when they start working on the roads and they put the lights up, that's not good enough. That ain't good enough. I mean, you need S-U-N light. Look at this. He says, he denies his privileges. He denies its warming rays, its life-giving resource. He denies the light that it spread. Glory spread so he can see where he's going, where he come from. Amen. He denies that. What would you say to a man that pulled down the shades or run into the basement and closed all the light off everywhere and just simply refused to recognize the sun was shining? There is something mentally wrong with that person. Anyone knows that? A natural mind will tell you there is something wrong with that person. Something has happened to him. He has lost his reasons. Now watch this. Well, so it is in the hours that we live when a man will cover himself up with some kind of excuse to actually recognize the gospel light as it's shining forth as it is today. When a man deliberately turns away from it, goes into something and pulls down the curtain, say, I don't believe it, there's something wrong with that person. They're erred in spirit. Look at this. He said there's just no way of getting around it. There is something wrong. Something has happened to him, and we find out there is so much of that today. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I won't go any further on that quote. I'm trying to get you to see this natural and spiritual type that Brother Branham just gave us. If the man is trying to deny the S-U-N, the existence of the S-U-N, there's so many things he has to do in order to deny it. So many things. He has to isolate himself. He has to go into a basement where pretty much no sun can get. But if there's a window there, he's in trouble. So he has to pull the shade down in the window. And even if you pull the shade down, you realize sunlight will kind of go out the corners. Yeah. Right? I mean, there's so much this man got to do in order to deny the sun. And if he testified, ain't no sun, they just said, would you just come outside? Yeah. were to just come up from the basement, you will realize there is a son. Hallelujah. Now, that's natural. The man lost his mind if he's in that condition. It's the same thing spiritually when we are denying the vindicated word of God. We've erred in spirit. Jesus spoke these words in Luke 4. This is why I read this, amen, for us on today. Because Jesus knew that people would be in this condition. And I want to tell you something, that the only person that can bring you out of a condition like that is Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus can actually bring deliverance to you. Only Jesus can reveal his word to you. Only Jesus can do it. Amen. Now, there were some things that Jesus said. He says he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And I love this, because as Christians, amen, when I look at that scripture, it's not that, this not talk about people that don't have money. But this talk about people that get poor in their spirit through conditions and situations that happen in their life. One of the people that got poor in spirit was a prophet by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, when he started going through his trials and his tribulations and his distresses, as he's in prison because he's preaching the gospel, he sent his disciples to Jesus, say, "Are you he, or should we look for another?" He was poor in his spirit. See, life has a way of throwing you curveballs. Life has a way of throwing you challenges till you get poor in your spirit. And if you're not careful, you make the wrong decisions when you are poor in your spirit. Amen. That's why I think that song that Brother Solomon was singing too, that just goes right along with it. He never promised the road going to be easy. You know, you ain't going to have no trials, but he's going to be there with you. He's going to step in just in time. All you got to do is just keep persevering, keep pressing on. Keep being patient. Just keep waiting on the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, church. Amen. Jesus said he was anointed to preach the gospel, the vindicated word, to those that are poor in spirit. Another thing is that he was sent to heal brokenhearted. This is how people get to err in their spirits. A broken heart can cause you to err in your spirit. Oh, help us, Lord. A broken heart, maybe something that you thought should have happened but didn't happen, it can cause you to err in your spirit. But Jesus has a word to give to somebody that is brokenhearted. He says he was sent to preach deliverance to the captives. Amen. And again, we'll get into all that. But you know, a person that's captive, you can be captive in your spirit. Brother Branham talked about how he went to the Cincinnati Zoo, and when he got there and he saw this eagle that was trying to fly to get above the cage, and every time he worked himself up and get up so high and just have to come right back down. He said he just wished that he had the opportunity to go and just take the cage off and let that eagle go free. And as he thought about it, he said, you know, there's a worse condition than the eagle in the cage. He says, when a son of God or a daughter of God is also bound and can't be free, they're in a worse condition than that eagle is. And God made the eagle to soar into the heavenlies. God made you to soar in the heavenlies. But you err in your spirit. Jesus said he came to recover sight to the blind. And I love this, because if he came to recover the sight of the blind, that means somebody used to be able to see, but they lost their eyesight. So in order to recover the sight, see, you had to own it first. If you lost it, you can recover it. Amen. If you had sight at some point in time, that's the only way Jesus can recover sight. If you never had sight, you can't have nothing recovered. But if you had it, if you used to be able to see this gospel, if you used to be able to see this truth, there's a way out. What you need to do is meet Jesus, because his ministry is to recover the sight of the blind. Yes. Amen. Amen. The other thing that the Bible tells us that Jesus came to do is set at liberty those that are bruised. Yes. You know, Brother Branham said cancer can actually happen from a bruise. A bruise is something that occurs on the inside. and then it manifests itself on the outside. But what Jesus wants to do is bring you healing to your inside. The other thing to say, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And this was the Jubilee year. And what we found out about the Jubilee year, anytime the gospel is preached, you can have a Jubilee. So this morning, while you're under, amen, this great anointing, you can have a Jubilee. Even at home, underneath this great anointing, you can have a Jubilee. You can experience freedom like you never experienced before. Woo. Look at this sermon, amen, why are the people so tossed about? Look at this statement that's being made here. That's why I say, you know, this is one of the most anointed messages that you have ever heard. Look at this. Some people gets the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Why are the people so tossed about? He says, did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing ever give to anyone? I guess I forgot to write this one down. This one is so important. Do 56-0101 and maybe put 41 in. See if it comes up. Praise the Lord. I wanted y'all to see this one. All right, so some people get the wrong impression. Is that right? Okay. Do 56-0101 and then put impression. Yeah, I think that's the way I wrote it down. There we go. All right, some people gets the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone? Y'all hear Brother Smiley about that saying, come on. He know that this is anointed. Look at this. He say, when was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone?
Not between here
and there. No, that's not the greatest anointing. When was the greatest anointing given to anyone? I want you to get it here, church. Glory to God. I feel anointed in it. He said, when was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone? And what did they do when they had the anointing? The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have it we have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. And one day he entered into the temple like we did this morning. Amen. One day he entered into the temple, glory to God, and picked up the scroll and read and said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the acceptable year, to bind up the broken hearts, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind. Let me just add a little something here. Amen. Before I read a little further in this quote, this morning we came to prayer, and I noticed Brother Jerry picked up a scripture, amen, out of the book of Isaiah to read to the people. When you stood up here for song service, Brother Solomon picked up a scripture out of Isaiah, I believe, to read. Was that Isaiah? Oh, I'm sorry. It was Brother Jerry. No, I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong credit. Amen. But Brother Jerry picked up Isaiah. Jesus Christ, when it was given to him the book to read, he picked up Isaiah. And this morning, I'm going to tell you already ahead of time, my title is found in Isaiah. Glory to God. Look at this now. Watch this. He says, and now we would think if such an anointing was on him that had been prophesied 800 years before that it would come. And here he was with the type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him. We would want to run all over the building, scream and holler. But the Bible said, amen, he laid down the scroll and sat down. You know you under the greatest anointing right now while you sitting down. And while the word is being poured into you, you are under a great anointing. Change is happening on the inside. And the change that is happening on the inside will be manifested on the outside. Oh my. Whoever heard the sunrise? One of the most powerful things that happens on the earth every day is when it rises and you never hear it. But boy, I tell you, when you sit there, other morning I was driving down the street and it was, you know, I like to play golf. And I'm getting ready to go play golf, and man, it's dark out there. I see what time my tee time is, and I say, man, we ain't gonna be able to see the ball at this time of morning. Gonna have to set the tee time a little later. But as I'm sitting there, they set that tee time because they're basing it on projections as to when the sun gonna rise. Now it may look dark right now, but as I just kept riding to the course, and I got my bag out my car, and I start walking up there to go pay my green fees. When I come back out, it changed just like. And I'm here to tell you this morning, mama and daddy, husband, wife, children, whoever you are, things are changing just like that. Woo, hallelujah. The prophet says this, he says, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him. We would want to run all over the building, scream and holler, but the Bible said he laid down the scroll and sat down, and precious words proceeded from his mouth. That's what he done under the anointing. Look at this. The anointing is not emotions. The anointing is supreme power in control. The anointing is supreme power and control, like knowing exactly what and how. See, that's what's here. As we're taking the scripture, we understand where we are. We know we can identify things by the word of God. We can get encouragement and strength from what the word tells us. And I'm going to read some scriptures here for you in a second. Amen. Just bear with me. I got 25 minutes. Bear with me. Ain't no way I'm finishing this today. But the prophets say the anointing is supreme power and control, like knowing exactly what and how. Now another statement that he makes: if your religion doesn't have emotion, bury it. See, so that don't mean take the emotion out of the church. That's not what we're talking about. But we need to understand that, amen, if your emotions are not producing a change in your life, then the sermon never hit the target. If we can preach between here and there and everybody get all excited, but it don't produce a change in your life, we miss the target. We're not here to preach to your emotions, but we're here to preach to your soul. I want to tell you what the anointing come to do. The anointing comes to destroy the yoke. Let's go to Isaiah 10. Let's go to Isaiah 10. Let's look at this. Lord, help me here. Lord, help me here. I got so much I want to say, and I don't even know if I can get to it all, but God knows. God knows. Isaiah 10, verse 24. Look at this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod. He shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease. Now, you're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some stuff, but it's going to stop. Let me tell you, every trial got a stopping point. It got a starting point and it got a stopping point. What you got to learn how to do is just endure. Glory. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease in mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I'm looking for yokes to be destroyed even right now while we're preaching this sermon. I'm looking for yokes to be destroyed. You know, for me, it's not a joy to see people come into the house of God and go right back out living the same way they were living before they came. Something's got to change somewhere. Just like the sun rose with no sound, I'm looking for God to do a change in somebody. No sound. No emotion. Just something take place on the inside and it manifests on the outside. And when you realize what has happened, it will produce an emotion. I want you to just look at this. According to Isaiah 10:24, the children of Israel were going to bondage like they were in Egypt. This is what Isaiah is saying. God told them not to fear, as there would be a mighty deliverance. Amen. And in the promise, while he's giving them this promise and told them that the yoke was going to be destroyed because of the anointing, during this promise, he told them to look back at two events. Amen. Two events. In verse 26, it said, the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the man of Egypt. So what we had to do, I mean, just to kind of understand this prophecy, you got to look back, amen, at these two events that God could take the children of Israel back to. And I think we can also go on the same journey. When they went back to, amen, what happened in Midian at the rock of Oreb, this is when Gideon's army had been raised up. Good God Almighty. And when we go back and just think about what God did, amen, there with Gideon's army. Gideon was a man, when you read him in scripture, looked like he was fearful. Amen, they were hiding their food and they were doing all kind of stuff to try to protect themselves from the Midianites. My God. And then God visits Gideon and says, you mighty man of valor. Oh, I love the way this comes across because, you know, when Gideon was standing there and from our eyesight, he didn't look like a mighty man of valor. But you got to stop worrying about how people see you and you have to look at yourself how God sees you. God called Gideon. We call him a coward, but God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. Say, well, you know what, if you're supposed to be so supernatural, where are the miracles? We read about it, but we need to see it now. Say, oh, I'm glad you asked for the miracles, because I'm going to use you to be a part of the miracle, Gideon. You got to be careful what you ask God for. You might become part of it. Gideon said, okay. Say, take your men down here to the water. Gideon said, I got 32,000 soldiers. I think I can go conquer anything with this. Let's go fight. He said, no, Gideon, no. I need to just make an announcement. Ask him if anybody's scared, just go ahead and go back home. Next thing you know, he made the announcement, and one after one, just take it off, gone. Hey, what is this? I think he was down to 10,000. Just like that, one message. One sermon, he lost 22,000 soldiers in one sermon. They say, well, okay, all right, 10,000, that's fine. I said, no, we ain't finished yet, Gideon. We ain't finished. We got a little bit more to do. Yeah. Take them down to the water and let them drink at the water. Now, the ones that drink a particular way, I want you to push them to this side. The ones that drink another way, you push them to the other side. Now, what some of them did, they got prostrate on the ground, just laid out on the ground and drinking water. Now, God said, if you see them do that, put them over there. Now, I said, if you see some get down like this, start scooping it up like that. He said, now put them to another side. See, the ones that's doing like this, they drinking their water, but they also got their eye on the enemy. And you need people that can keep their eye on the enemy. He said, now put them to the side. So the ones that was just scooping it up like that and just drinking while they're still watching, 300. I had an army of 10,000. First I had 32,000. I lost 22 on the first sermon. Now I got I preached another sermon and now 9,700, gone. And God said, you're left with 300 now, 300. Take this group right here, Gideon, and go down there to Midian. Can you imagine? He said, "Nah, I'm really having a hard time with this one. I'm really." He started asking for fleeces and all kind of stuff. God gave him every fleece that he wanted. And then the last thing God told him, said, "Now you're still a little discouraged, ain't you? I know. Said, "Now I just want you to get up with one of your friends, go down into the camp of Midian, and you're gonna hear something that's gonna encourage you." He went down there to Midian, and when he got there, a guy had just had a dream. And when he had a dream, he started telling his friend, you know, his dream. And, you know, it's just amazing. Even the enemy could interpret the dream. The enemy say, you know, "Oh, that ain't nothing but the sword of Gideon. We're going to die." And here, Gideon heard what they heard. Even with his 300, he knew that there was more on his side than was on their side. So what he did was develop his strategy. And what you need to do, even though you got a little bit that you're working with, develop your strategy with your little bit. Develop your strategy. Don't wait for God to overflow. Use the little bit that you got and develop a strategy. Use what you got. What's that you have in your hand? Use that. Put 100 over here and take some pots and pitchers. No, man, we need swords, no pots and pitchers. We're just going to make noise on this side and noise on that side and lamps, and we're just going to look like we crazy. They ain't going to know how many of us out here. And we're going to defeat this enemy. Because God told us to come down here. Look, it wasn't Gideon fighting the battle. It was God in Gideon fighting the battle. The prophet told him, go back and look at what I did with Midian, amen, at Oreb. Go back and look at that, right? And then he told him, and his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the man of Egypt. So they had to go back and look at what happened in Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. Here, you know, we noticed that it took God, the supernatural God, to get them out of that place. He had given them a promise that they was going to be in bondage for 400 years. I told you, the devil has a stopping point. Can I put it this way? Your bondage has a stopping point. The air in your spirit has a stopping point. You can only go so far like that. Somewhere down the line, God gonna turn you around. I got a confidence in my God. I got an assurance in my God. I got a promise from my God. Here you say, "Moses, go get my people out of there." And Moses went marching down there with a stick in his hand. One stick, take over the greatest army in the world with a stick in his hand, but he had a supernatural God that was dwelling with him. Yeah. And as God said, "Throw the stick down and watch it turn to a snake." And Moses, "Oh, yeah, something supernatural. These guys are going to be afraid of this." And then when he stood there, Pharaoh said, "Oh, man, that's all you got, Moses? Man, we've been doing that for years. Janus and Jambres, come, show Moses what you got." They took their sticks and threw them down. Moses saw that, but here's the thing. Moses did not get frustrated. Moses did not get taken aback. If God told me to throw it down, he had a purpose for me throwing it down. Now, I'm going to sit here and just wait on God. And before you knew it, Moses' snake just went to one snake, opened up his mouth, and gobbled it. Now, snake, I ain't never heard of no snake eating snake. I don't know nothing about that. But here, you know, Moses' snake go and gobble. Don't you think maybe the other snake would have thought, "Man, I better get out of here"? No, he stood there, and Moses' snake went over and gobbled him, saying, "Now where your sticks at, Janus and Jambres? Your sticks are inside of my stick. And you put some more down here, we'll eat them up too." God was showing himself on Moses' behalf. Finally, they got to the point, and, you know, all the plagues and everything falling in Egypt, death come to the firstborn. Firstborn son, they go through this plague and darkness and water turning to blood. I mean, lice and, I mean, you name it, flies, all kind of plagues that they were having. Finally, the people in Egypt, "We just tired of this. Please let them people go." And when they left church, I need you to understand, you go back and read your Bible, you'll find that they did not leave broke. Now, they might have been broke while they was there, but the night before they left, they went and borrowed some jewels. They went and borrowed this, and I mean, borrowed expensive stuff. And then the people got so said, just leave. Take our stuff with you as well. They left rich. That's just my revelation. I don't believe I'm going to leave here poor. Now, I know I'm not preaching, you know, prosperity, but I don't believe I'm going to leave here poor. That's just me. If they ain't leave poor, I ain't leaving poor. And I'm getting ready to go to the streets of gold. I'm trying to come home. But here they left, and as they get there to the sea, God had told Moses, saying, "Now don't take them a certain land, a certain way, because I don't want them to get into battle too early and get discouraged. But take them this way. Take them this route." And as they went towards the sea, here come Pharaoh's army, got behind them and chasing them, and God had to separate with a pillar of fire. Amen. That he stopped the armies of Pharaoh, and then he allowed the children of Israel to say, now Moses got to spend that. What am I going to do now, Lord? He said, now what you going to do? He said, don't cry to me. Speak and go forward. Don't cry. Uh-uh. I know it looked bad. I know it looked impossible. But one thing you don't do when it looked bad and when it looked impossible, one thing you don't do, you don't cry. See, when I said in the last sermon, stop crying. Yeah, you ain't got to cry. You don't. God lives up. God, well, I was going to say God don't cry, but he did cry at the grave of Lazarus. But he also stopped crying, and Lazarus came forth. Say, no, don't cry, Moses. Don't cry. No. Speak and move forward. But it's water in the way. Speak and move forward. And what I notice here, amen, in the scripture, there's a couple things. Maybe we'll read it. Exodus 14, verse 13 through 15. We'll read it. And according to my time, I got 11 minutes. I'm winding up. Praise the Lord. I'm just getting started. We ain't even got nowhere yet, but just bear with me. Here in Exodus 14, verse 13 says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still." That's what some of us need to learn how to do. That was another word that came out, like, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you when? Today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more again forever. See them again no more forever. Now, God never told Moses to say that. Moses said that under inspiration. And since he was God's prophet, God had to back up what he said. Can I say something else? Since you are God's child, since you are God's bride, God gonna back up what you say. Moses said unto the people, "Fear you not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Next verse, he says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And look at this, verse 15. "And the Lord said to Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Now skip down to verse 16. This is what I guess is the next verse. And this is what I like. "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." So in order for the sea to open up, Moses had to lift his hand up and stretch out the rod. Hallelujah. It was Moses, by Moses' act of obedience, amen, the sea opened up. And the children of Israel crossed on dry ground. But now let's go to verse 26 through 28. Moses opened it up by stretching out the rod. Amen. But the same Moses, the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out thy hand over the sea that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." So he stretched it out to open it up, but he also stretched it out to close it up. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The next verse, I believe. Is that right? Yes. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. I want to let you know that you have the power to bind and loose. Because the Bible says whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Moses demonstrated this power. It was him stretching his rod. He loosed the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground. But after the children of Israel got through on dry ground, he stretched the rod again, and he bound the Red Sea. And it drowned Pharaoh and his army. You got the power to bind and to loose. But keep your spirit right. I have a little something here that I just want to make mention of. Give me this last quote, then I got some scriptures that I'm going to read, and I'll close, amen, this portion of it. Here I want to read from a paradox. I've just been trying to go back and forth and show you. It's one thing where we can look back at these things and Moses, Gideon, we can see scriptures fulfilled in their day, but we got to be able to see where we at now. And when we come and we talk about this message that God sent us through his prophet, William Branham, that's God fulfilling his word for this day. That was God's way of fulfilling his word. And like I said earlier, we need light. We need light on the manifested word. I mean, the word of God has to be manifested for our day for us to understand what God is doing. And when we have that light, we don't want to be like the man going into the basement, shutting ourselves off from everybody. See, ain't nobody going to join you down there in that basement when you're airing your spirit. Hallelujah. Right, you know, oftentimes we want people to join our pity party. I don't like pity parties. I don't enjoy them. Right, I don't like them. So I mean, it's hard to just kind of get down there. All you want when you see somebody at a pity party, you just want to kind of give them something to kind of get them out of it. Just snap out of it. Snap out of it. Right. But God done too much for us to have a pity party. Amen. Everything ain't gonna go your way all the time. That's fine. All things working together for your good. Yeah. It may not be good, but it's still working together for your good. But, you know, we look at these things, but we got to be able to see what God has done in our day. And we don't want to reject the light that has been given to us for this day. We don't want to do that. Got to be careful. And it's very easy to do that when you start erring in your spirit. Mistake in your spirit. You can recover. It ain't over. You can recover from it. Oh, God's arms are open wide. God realizes that people will err in their spirits. It's going to happen. Happen to the best of us. John the Baptist, it happened to him. And you want to know why it happened? Because of his trial. He was in prison. And like, all I'm doing is preaching the gospel. And because he was kind of in prison, couldn't see his way out, didn't know what was going to happen. All over, he preached one sermon one day to this lady that came to church late. Walked into the church and with her husband, her new husband. Because they had a marriage and divorce problem. Amen. And John had to scream out from the pulpit, "It's not lawful for you to have her." And kept on preaching the sermon. And she could just say, Herodias said, "Oh, he talking to me? I'm going to have to get him." And she had vowed in her spirit, "I'm going to get this man." And one day she raised up her daughter to dress a certain way and to dance a certain way. That's why we believers, we don't do this stuff. No, we don't. We don't carry ourselves like that. He say, I raise up and say, "I know your daddy. I know your daddy. He's a drunk. He's a lush. He's got a lust spirit on him. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Now I want you to dress like this. Put this on. Put that on. And go out there and dance. Turn that music on. Boy, she been getting a twirl and do all kind of stuff. And boy, that man was so drunk, he lusted after his own stepdaughter. Can I tell y'all the Bible? Lusting after his own stepdaughter. And get so bad, he say, whatever you want up to half the kingdom, you can have it. Girl didn't know what to do with that kind of power. Went running to her mama. Mama, he say up to half the kingdom. What should I ask for? Oh, up to half the kingdom? Tell him you want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. She went running back out there and said, I want the head of John the Baptist on the platter. And now he was drunk, but when he heard that, he kind of. You want me to kill a prophet? Even a drunk king was afraid to kill a prophet. Now, what about people today, supposedly in their same mind, they can come against a prophet with anything. Call a prophet a liar. No, he ain't a liar, you a liar. And you just erred in your spirit. Two-minute warning. Can I just, let me read this. This is coming from the Message of Paradox. I'm going to leave you with a couple promises. A paradox. It says, but we're promised according to Revelation 10 and according to Malachi 4, St. Luke 22:17, and so forth, that there has got to come an Ephesians to this. That means a coming out, an exodus. Just like Moses was brought out, God's people are going to be brought out. Amen. And Ephesians says, there's promised it, friends. There must come in Ephesians that these sevenfold mysteries of the word of God must be unfolded. And it's in the Laodicean age that this takes place. I believe that we're there. I believe we're right in the shadows of the coming of the Son of God. And as Joshua, just before the Ephesians raised up, so did John the Baptist raise up just before the next Ephesians. And we're promised another Ephesians. It's predicted here in the scripture. Therefore, I think that we're living in the Ephesians age back again. We're promised that what was left off during those seven ages. Now, you cannot add nothing to the book or take nothing from it. Revelation 22:18 says so. Who will add one word or take one word, his part will be taken from the book of life. Now, we cannot add or take. So therefore, we know that Luther could not get to it. Wesley and so forth, the reformers, Knox, Finney, Calvin and so forth, and on down so forth, they didn't get it all. But what they had was the gospel. But now in the last days, we are given the understanding. I love this promise. We're given the understanding by the word. Oh, you might have erred in your spirit. But we're given the understanding by the word that we are going to understand. We're going to understand it because it'll come in Ephesians age to it. And we're here now. Paradox. I'll leave that hang because I just got about 10 more minutes and then we'll have a prayer line. Now, I just... My timer just went off, and I'm going to read these scriptures, and I'm going to close. I love the way he just said, we're given the understanding by the word that we're going to understand. That's a promise that's looming over each and every one of y'all. You're given the understanding by the word. You are going to understand. And notice where he said that in the Message, paradox. You know what a paradox is? It's something unbelievable. How did so-and-so change? They used to be like this. It seemed unbelievable. But it's true. I want to make this statement. I'm going to read about three or four scriptures. We have too many promises from God to give up on anybody. Too many promises from God for you to be talking about giving up on anybody. So I want to read you some promises, and I'm going to give the service back to Brother Solomon. One of the most powerful sermons I ever heard. erred in spirit. When I preached from here to there, so many, I appreciate all y'all comments. I really do. I thank you for it. God has to give us sermons like that. God has to do it. It's not anything Brother Jack can do, but God has to give it. But my nephew called me when I got home. He said, that's one of them sermons that, you know, that you can take just about anywhere. I said, I appreciate that. So your mama said the same thing, you know, while we was out eating. And I said, I appreciate that. I appreciate, you know, even my niece said, my cousin said, man, I heard that sermon. I got texts from all over, people that heard the sermon. I appreciate that. But this. This is the most powerful sermon up to this point that God has given us. Too many promises from God to give up on anybody. Let's look at John 10, verse 28 through 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 6:39. Look at this. And this is the Father's will, which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. God ain't gonna lose one. I don't care what it looked like. God is not going to lose none of his. Amen. Amen. Acts 2, 38 through 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You got a promise on your child. Don't give up on your child. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, don't give up. You got a promise. Hold God to what he said in his word. Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 8. Let's look at it. Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 8. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Amen, Brother Kwaku. Amen. That's what he's been preaching to us. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Glory to God. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That tells me that the same God that was with the Hebrew boys is with me. He will take you through the fire. Glory to God. He'll take you through the fire again. Look at this. It says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. Look at this. Look at this promise. For I, who gonna do it? Who gonna do it? Who is I? The Lord going to do this. The Lord did that thing. Amen. It says, for I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Oh, come on, somebody. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. If he's God's child, if she's God's child, she can't get away. Oh, hallelujah. Too many promises to give up on anybody. says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. One more scripture, a promise I want to give you. And I'll cut it off here today and pick up again on next week. Isaiah 29. I think I want to start reading at verse 22. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I'll just go to verse 22 for right now. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands. Whose hands? Your child is a work of God's hands. Yes. When he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him. I like that. I see him in church. I see him. When he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name. You're going to live right. They shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall do what? Shall come to understanding, and they that have murmured shall learn doctrine. Ain't no more to say. When God said it, he said it all. Too many promises to give up on anybody. I don't care what they're going through. I don't care. It's just a mistake. An error. They erred. It erred. Everybody make mistakes. But God said you're going to come to an understanding. And I just read the quote to you. Brother Branham said, we are given to understand. We're going to understand. Oh, I just thank God. Now, I got another quote that I can read right there. But I'ma just save it for next week. I'ma save it for next week. I'ma save it for next week. I'll just give you just a little snippet of it. I won't read it. I'ma read it next week. But Brother Branham said this, and this is for you mothers. This is for the mothers. This is for the mothers, because he said it in Mother's Day. He said somehow the supernatural is going to untangle the knots. And they might have erred in spirit, but the knot's going to be untangled somehow. I don't know how. I don't know how you're going to get your questions answered. Actually, what I do realize is that some of your questions are not even questions. And that's why you don't need no answer. It's just an error in spirit. But the promise of God say those that err in spirit shall understand. They shall come to an understanding. Let's pray. God, your word is real. Your word is perfect. Your word is true. As we look at these promises, Lord, that's been given to us, it's hard for us to just give up and quit. We realize, God, the spirit man can be impacted. We realize that. But God, you're the one that comes to bring healing to our hurting. You're the one that comes to set the captive free. It's the anointing that was on you that does these things. You set at liberty those that are bruised. You recover sight to the blind. You preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the year of Jubilee. Lord, as people are hearing the word, may they go free, Father. We declare that this is the year of Jubilee. Lame shall walk, blind shall see. We declare it, Father. And Father, our prayer is that you would just continue to help us
God, help our responses, our attitudes, our just help the way that we think about things. Help us, God, that we would just be welcoming, realizing that, Father, you're fulfilling your word right before our very midst. We know the word did not go, Father, on deaf ears, but God is going to bring forth fruit as it has been spoken. Lord, we love you. We praise you and we thank you for every promise that you've made. It is yea and it is amen. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God. Brother Solomon, I'll turn the service, amen, back to you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. As we welcome Brother Solomon back to the pulpit. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Aren't you glad God still moves? Praise the Lord. What a mighty anointed message. A very powerful message. You know, right there when he was coming to the end and reading about these precious promises, it took me back about a year ago when I had a few questions. I was sitting talking with Brother Quentin about, you know, just wayward children. You know, I could see certain things, and I wanted a little bit of advice, and he gave me some advice. He said, Brother Solomon, I hold a token over my children. He said, they can come the easy way or they can come the hard way. He said, they got to come. I'm holding a token over them. He said, they can come by way of the rapture or they can come the other side of tribulation, but they're going to come. So if you got children that's out there in the world, you keep believing God for them. They will understand. They will come. God still moves. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God still moves? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a song that came upon my heart and saved me from my erring ways. But I don't know the words, so I asked Sister Sarah, will she sing it for me? So, Sister Sarah, will you come? And we just all sing along with her.
Time that will be called on home.
Bless you, saints. Amen. As we prepare to leave, we want to thank you all. We actually were able to give out 49 turkeys. for the families. So God bless you for your giving. Amen. We're going to bow our hearts. Also pray for my family. Over the summer, my mother lost her brother, sister-in-law. Well, their son passed a few years ago. Well, it's been a while, but his daughter passed Friday. So we want to pray for my family again, burying someone else. So let's bow our hearts as we prepare to leave. Almighty God, Father, again, we want to thank you, Lord, for your divine truth. Lord, this is a message that goes directly to the soul, Lord, and it's something that we needed to hear. Lord, you do all things in your perfect timing, Lord God, and we are beneficiaries of your thoughtfulness and how much you care for us, Lord God, and you love to correct and instruct your children, Lord, how we may walk perfectly before you. As we prepare, Lord God, to leave this place and answer on high, Lord God, Father, we want to just bless your name. Father, thank you for blessing the people, Lord God, that we were able to give 49 turkeys to the people, Lord, in this area, Lord, to be a blessing to them in this Thanksgiving season, Lord. And I pray, Almighty God, that you will bless your people, Lord, for their hearts, Lord, for their giving, for their love, Lord, for their service, Lord. Father, I pray again for my family, Lord. Lord, continue to have your way in our lives, Lord. Strengthen us during this time, Lord, and bring comfort, Lord, in a time of bereavement. Father, as we prepare to leave this place, Lord, we ask that you will go before us, make our way prosperous in all that we do. Strengthen our hands, Lord God, as we continue to press the battle. And may we tear down Satan's kingdom, Lord, wherever we see him, Lord, trying to arise in our midst. Have your way. Bless the people as we go. Bring us all back at the appointed time. We'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory for all things that you accomplish. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats, and our brothers will come and dismiss you at your time.